Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
In 2019, the Chiefs lost at Tennessee and never looked back, reeling off 9 straight wins and winning the Super Bowl over the San Francisco 49ers. A little over a month ago, the Chiefs were embarrassed at Tennessee and haven't looked back since. 4 straight victories, and now a football team that couldn't get out of its own way suddenly looks well-rounded and able to beat you in a variety of ways. On Sunday against the Cowboys, it was Chris Jones in the middle of the defensive line, simply the best player on the field, wreaking havoc against his former collegiate teammate, Dak Prescott, the quarterback of the Cowboys. They played together at Mississippi State. All told, Chris Jones had 3.5 sacks. He had a forced fumble. He had a fumble recovery. He had a pass deflection. This from a guy in the middle of the field. Do you remember the Patriots dynasty and Vince Wilfork in the middle and how much he helped the defense of the New England Patriots and the Super Bowls with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady? Well, Chris Jones is even more effective than Wilfork because he gets to the quarterback more. This guy is a run stopper, a middle clogger, and he just destroys defenses when he's on. I tweeted out during the game yesterday that Chris Jones is learning why and what position to play. He has a chance to make it to the Hall of Fame someday. Rack up some more Super Bowl rings with Chris Jones in the middle doing that, and you're going to get headlines and hundreds of millions of dollars. It was sensational. Stan Weber will be here to talk about it. Nobody knows the Chiefs and the Cowboys more than Stan. We also talk Missouri Tigers as the Tigers win in overtime on a 2-point conversion. Connor Basilak to Daniel Parker Jr. Sensational as Missouri holds the Florida Gators to just 93 rushing yards in the game. Who'd have thought it? These two football teams, starting the season out with horrific defense, can't stop the run, can't do anything right, and now the Tigers and the Chiefs are playing great defense. We'll get into all that with Stan Weber and talk college coaching changes on the Football Feast at KKHI. It's brought to you by Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. Roberts Robinson just makes it easy for their customers. That's what everyone says. Log on to robertsrobinson.com where you can shop, click, and drive. They've got great inventory there now, even pre-owned vehicles. Or build your own car and have it delivered right there to the dealership or to your driveway through Roberts Robinson and Chevrolet. Find new roads. Merriam Body Shop on Merriam Drive, just off I-35 and Johnson Drive. Call my buddy Justin over at Merriam Body Shop for any collision repair you need. Or how about this for a holiday gift? Detail your car. I mean, complete ceramic coating detail. They do it for a fraction of what other people charge. And they love your car more than you do. You want to make your wife happy this holiday season? Clean her ride up like never before with Merriam Body Shop and the new car image. Call them at 913-362-1198. They love your car more than you do. And bstock.net, it is the holidays. They've got an 82-inch 4K Samsung Crystal. This is, I mean, other places are saying Black Friday price of $1,400. It's $1,199 at Bstock. That's an 82-inch 4K Samsung Crystal. You're going to love this TV. They're going to beat anything at Best Buy, Sam's Club, Nebraska Furniture Mart. Bstock beats them all. Get out to Bstock this weekend. Visit their warehouse, and it really, truly is a warehouse. 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. Stan Weber's here. It's the Football Feast. We're going to lock in on the Chiefs, the Tigers, and so much more on KKHI. Hit it!
Sports, politics, life. 360 Document Solutions presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues online at 360documentsolutions.com.
Our Football Feast with Stan Weber has new meaning as it's Thanksgiving week, and that's the real feast. And we're looking forward to that. Not just all the football on Thursday, but of course, the feast on the table. He's a good man, a good friend, and nobody knows more about the Chiefs and Cowboys than Stan Weber, and he's here to talk about it. Hi, Stan. How are you?
Great, Kevin. Thanks for bringing up the feast. I love eating, too, so it's going to be awesome, and this is just a fantastic week for sports fans. You know, basketball for those that are really into it. Right here in Kansas City's T-Mobile Center, I'm going to be calling a couple of K-State games Monday night, Tuesday night, legitimate top competition. So that'll be a lot of fun. But man, it's a ton of football with a lot at stake. When you get to November football, you got conference races, finishing bowl selection area, you got national championship fights. And then you got tons of the NFL. So this is a great time of year and hopefully a fun time for everyone to get together and celebrate so much that you have to be thankful for. This is a great week. I love this because I'm a sports fan. I love it because of the eating, and I love it because you get to spend some time with your friends and family.
You famously don't like chicken. Where do you stand on turkey?
Nope, we eat ham. There'll be a little turkey for those that like it, you know, because we have a bigger group, and so sometimes it's a big turkey. But all my family knows we're bringing down the best ham you can buy. You know, just go out and get the best ham and live it up. So we love that. And then they also, they can eat some turkey too, but ham is definitely the featured dish for me. And unfortunately, a lot of my kids have learned to love it.
That's awesome. So what is the one side dish, if it were not on the table, it would not bother you that it wasn't there? What's the one? Because every year I look around and I go, wow, there's three or four things here that they just don't need to be here. For me, it's like, I don't like green bean casserole. I love green beans. I love green beans. But when you casserole it up, it's just not the same to me. I don't care about cranberry sauce either. I see a couple things. I'm like, yeah, it doesn't really need to be here. What's the thing on the table that doesn't need to be there?
Like the cranberries, any kind of fancy salad that they're trying to make me eat when there's so many mashed potatoes and an old Wichita thing. I didn't know that people didn't know this, so I apologize for this. But all my kids, cream peas, like real cream. I'm not a big pea eater. I mean, like, okay, but the best peas with the real cream is kind of a staple. Mashed potatoes, gravy. I don't mind the turkey gravy there. I can do that, Kevin, if you want to bring me some turkey gravy. And the stuffing or dressing, whatever you call it, that's kind of in the middle for me. That it can either be really good or just over on that side of the table, not needed. But it's not like the first. I'm no different than most people. Everyone else wants to be so polite to everybody and so nice and not really be real about what their indulgences are. Okay, so they do a little bit of, you know, preparation if it's salad or whatever and go to dessert. Kevin, I'm just the opposite. I only have so many bites and so many calories I can stuff in my face, okay? There is a limit. So I'm going to eat only the stuff I love. Only the good stuff. I mean, there's not one bite to be nice to, like, hey, I'll try that salad. Like, no, I'm not eating salad today. We're eating this other stuff. So there's plenty of on the table. So, yeah, I'm like you. There's like five things over there. I'm going, have at it, everybody. Because most of them people are like, I'll take a little of that. And yeah, give me a little bit. Give me a bite of that. Two bites of that. And there's plates nicely filled and a lot of diversity in all the type of foods. Mine's like, just pile on what I like. Okay. I might eat two plates and less number of items. So, you know, it's just, I really am, and my limitation is there's only so many calories I can eat that day. So I'm going to eat the great things that I love.
That's awesome. I'm going to write you down for at least 10 ounces of ham. That's for sure going to happen. So
yeah, Joe, for sure.
That's good stuff. All right, let's talk a little Chiefs Cowboys. And I think you and I may differ on a couple of things here. I know that you don't like the Cowboys defense as much as I do. I think they're pretty good. Maybe some people think they're great and you don't think they're great, but I think they're pretty good. And I texted you yesterday. Stan, I don't remember a team, and we'll talk about Missouri later. They've kind of done the same thing here a little bit on a lesser scale. I don't remember an NFL team, certainly not a Chiefs team, that a defense improved this much in season. I can't believe what I'm watching. Chris Jones looks like a Hall of Famer, and he may be, by the way. Chiefs go win another Super Bowl with Chris Jones in the middle, and he plays like this. He's probably going to the Hall of Fame. We remember what Vince Wilfork did for the Patriots back in the day. I can't even put into words the improvement I've seen with the Chiefs defense. You, I don't think, are quite as impressed as I am.
Well, we got to be careful how we evaluate this thing. You know, our listeners jumping on for the first time, you're getting a lot of new people, new patrons, new podcast listeners, Kevin. They're going to jump on and hear some words. It can be dangerous because if you didn't listen to every podcast throughout the year, you're not going to get the right theme, okay? It's going to be hard to yank me over into negativity about the Chiefs. Okay, I'll break some things down here, Kevin. But as a pendulum swings, when it was swung way out to the side and the Buffalo Bills had just gotten done with the Chiefs, and then delayed it on even worse with the Tennessee Titans tearing apart the Chiefs in every way and breaking some confidence on the offense, there was a big thought that, boy, this just isn't the Chiefs' year. Patrick Mahomes might have been figured out. The defense is the worst ever, and the Chiefs aren't going to go to the playoffs. So, remember, my take on this is all positive.
Yeah, you said they'd be 7-4 and win four in a row. You said they'd win all four of these and be 7-4. You nailed it.
So I want to put that in perspective. So now the pendulum swung a little bit too far the other way. That's all that happened, Kevin.
Okay.
So let's get into that. But first of all, let's talk about the positive. You know, again, I thought that the Giants came in with a great game plan and really tested the Chiefs, gave themselves a big chance to win, and I believe in the coaching staff at the New York Giants, okay? And the Chiefs just beat them on defense and stuffed them. But no one gave anybody credit. So now we're starting to develop a trend line. Now we know where the trend's going. The defense has been very, very good the last four games and done a fine job. No one wanted to give them any credit against the Green Bay Packers because they just said, oh, man, if you don't show Aaron Rodgers out there, this is a joke. Well, I'm the one who said that they would have beat the Packers either way. The Packers lost to the Vikings yesterday. I do not believe in the Packers. They're good, but they're just up and down and all over the place, even with Aaron Rodgers there. So I gave the team credit. Now, you mentioned the big thing. First of all, Frank Clark is playing. I mean, Chris Jones is the big thing. Moving back to defensive tackle is the answer. What a difference he makes there, Kevin. It's unbelievable. He dominated the game against the Cowboys, totally took it over. Frank Clark is playing now. He kind of, since he's come public with, hey, I was distracted with all the stuff that happened off season with the gun issue and things like that. Since he's done that, he's been out there playing faster. Anthony Hitchens is a big part of the Chiefs defense. The young guys are doing fine. Willie Gay is getting better. Bolden is a big time hitter and playing solid football, but they need a little direction, you know, a mentor. Anthony Hitchens gives them that. Tyrann Mathieu was not playing to the level of the magic that he had done throughout his career with the Chiefs, and even further than that. And he started playing better and has continued it on. And the cornerbacks have done a nice job. You add it all up, and the Chiefs defense is playing very well. Now let's go back to when the Chiefs defense was the 32nd or 30th in the league. I said, when things get sorted out, they'll be fine. They'll come back toward the middle. Probably even 20th in the league will be fine. They'll be a very good team, and the Chiefs will be a playoff team. Right now, they're exceeding that, but there's a little bit of, wait a second, don't go too far with this. They will not be able to do this down after down, game after game. Here's a couple of points. Number one, Chris Jones was wired. The Kansas City Chiefs were wired to play the Dallas Cowboys. Okay? They wanted, this is a big game. They know that Hunt family lives in Dallas. They know that when the stars of the Dallas Cowboys come onto the field once every 8 years, for a lot of these guys, Kevin, this is the only time in their career they're going to play the Dallas Cowboys. They grew up, many of them Dallas Cowboy fans, knowing about America's team. There is a fire in their being that most NFL players don't have. The Chiefs are going to play out of their mind. Chris Jones played out of his mind. During the fourth quarter break, when the Cowboys still had a chance, they were within two scores of coming back and were starting to show a little bit of life. There was a timeout and some good music. And before the TV cameras came back, Chris Jones started going to one side, left the huddle, and walked 10 yards toward one side of the field, the Dallas Cowboys bench side, and started revving up all the fans like he was the best cheerleader in town. Then he stopped and went 10 yards on the other side toward the Chiefs side and revved up the fans. It's like, we're going crazy, let's go. That's not what pro players do. The Chiefs were focused and ready to translate an elite game. He's not going to do that down after down. They're not going to play with the enthusiasm that they played against the Cowboys. And the Cowboys laid around. I got home from the game, and my daughter doesn't even watch much football. My youngest daughter's in town. And she goes, I walked in the door after coming back from the game. And she goes, wow, the Cowboys didn't even show up. That's the best analysis you could ever have right there. There it is. The Cowboys came to the game just playing another NFL game. And the Chiefs came to the game like, man, this is the Cowboys. I'll give you an example, Kevin. Before you get too excited about the Chiefs, is the trend line? Let's be excited. Best team in the AFC? Let's be excited. Defense better? Let's be excited. But yesterday's game, domination of the Dallas Cowboys. The Denver Broncos dominated the Dallas Cowboys a couple weeks ago. Are you buying in that Denver's a great team? No. No one's buying in that Denver's a great team, and they wiped out the Cowboys. That Dak Prescott is not his same self since he pulled his calf muscle. Since he's been back, he's been inaccurate. And that makes all the difference in the world. His accuracy has got to be precision for the Cowboys to be, you know, really a very good team. The Cowboys are highly overrated. They're a momentum team. When things go well, they tear you apart. When things don't go well, they don't know how to do anything, lay down and lose. And that's what happened to them yesterday. So be careful giving the Chiefs too much credit unless you want to talk about the last four or five games, because the Cowboys will lay down and let you beat them. And they did. The Denver Broncos did it, and now the Chiefs have done it.
If I were doing a podcast in Dallas, if I'd worked in Dallas the whole time and covered the Cowboys all these years, or we both lived in Dallas, my podcast every week would have a feature called the McCarthy moment, because there's a moment in every game where he does something as the head coach that you just scratch your head and go, what in the world is he doing? And maybe he threw in the towel. Maybe he quit yesterday. Maybe he thought there's no way our team can win. And they had fourth and long with 7:55 to go in the game. They had fourth and long. By punting the ball away, and I think they were close to midfield, their own 40-yard line, 45, something like that. They were in decent field position. They weren't back on their own 12. By punting the ball away, Mike McCarthy is saying, I'm going to punt this away, I'm going to stop the Chiefs twice, and I'm going to score twice in 7 minutes and 55 seconds. What in the world was he thinking, and what message does that send to his team that, hey, we're not winning this, let's get on the bus and go home?
Yeah, all of those things are absolutely true, and it wasn't his worst moment. So here we go. You know, you're right, Kevin. The McCarthy moment is right there. I mean, the worst moment is, remember when they put a penalty on for the face mask?
Yeah.
On the Cowboys, which I've heard Mike Pereira, who's an expert on Fox, is saying, hey, you can't add a penalty like that. That just doesn't happen. So it's a very unique thing. It's very controversial that it could even happen. And so what would a coach normally do? Call over the official and either quietly rip him a new one or do it a little bit louder so you can tell. Okay, either way, guess what Mike McCarthy did. He just stood there. And you know who yelled at the officials for an unusual amount of time and should have been flagged? The special teams coach, Fossil. Fossil argued with one official, then went down and the play was about to start and yelled at another one. This is one of the big problems. Mike McCarthy lets Fossil decide if they're going for fourth down or not. It's going to run a trick play, block a punt. What they should do is play. He's the one who's yelling at the officials. Mike McCarthy's just standing over there half asleep. The biggest moment, though, that was a sidelight there. The biggest moment was right before the half when Dak Prescott threw an interception in the end zone. The Cowboys had just under 30 seconds left, two timeouts, and had a play, a pass caught with the clock running. It's very easy. My oldest daughter said, oh, they're going to call timeout. They got two timeouts left. I go, obviously. I look over and Mike McCarthy's leaning out with his hand and woke up for just a second and spun his arm like, keep playing. And you're going, you just blew it, man. Call timeout. You're not going to use all your timeouts in this half. You need to save the time and you have two timeouts. What are you doing? Guess what Dak did? Through interception.
Yep.
Mike McCarthy, he had a call timeout. The Cowboys would have had a chance to settle down, talk about it. And I would have said they would not have thrown that interception in the end zone to CeeDee Lamb, which, A, would have not turned over the ball to Chiefs, B, given the Cowboys a score before the half, and C, CeeDee Lamb wouldn't have got a concussion and be out the rest of the ball game. So those are just – but Mike McCarthy just makes bad decisions with clock management. It's not a Kevin Keatsism. Okay? Kevin, you've been talking about this for 10 years. But the national media has written so many articles this year about his decisions in the first few games with clock management. It's incredible. I know everyone doesn't want to hear about the Cowboys. I could break them down all day. The Cowboys are a good team, probably will win their division, but they're not elite.
Right.
Well, and they're only elite when Dak is hitting his receivers in the first play of the game, get a wide open guy. Normally he would drop that ball, and the Cowboys would have 30 or 40 yards, and the whole game may have turned around. But Dak's missing people, throwing interceptions. He's not played well the last few games.
I believe this is true. I think the Cowboys are capable of beating anybody, anytime, anywhere. That doesn't mean they're the best team in football, but I believe they're capable of that. I just don't believe they're capable of that with Mike McCarthy as their head coach. I think it's going to be an ugly finish again. They're going to get in the playoffs. They'll probably win a game. You know, they'll get to a divisional round game, some big game, and something stupid's going to happen where he does something dumb. I just feel it coming, and I feel bad for Cowboys fans that way because there's a lot of talent on that roster. And I like the Cowboys. I when the Cowboys are playing almost anybody, I root for them. I like them. I don't root for them against the Chiefs, but I like them. To me, they're entertaining. They're fun. I actually like Jerry Jones. There's just a lot I like about the Cowboys. And I can't explain it. I don't know why. It's just kind of the way they play. Their games are wild. They're entertaining, all that stuff. I just feel like it's going to end badly. And it's going to be on McCarthy. He's going to prevent them from doing something great.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on. Jerry's too much of he wants to be a coach rather than just an owner. The Cowboys are overachieving right now with the record they have. They still may not win the division the way the Eagles are playing, but likely with the record they have, they'll somehow fight their way through it. But the key thing is, you know, it was so boring for me to watch the game because midway through the first quarter, I just said, I called this. I mean, this I never, ever, 4 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, or last Friday or Saturday, or Sunday morning, did I ever say the Cowboys would beat the Chiefs. No, Chiefs are going to win. That was easy. Easiest thing I've said over the last few months. And it wasn't about the Chiefs. It's just the Cowboys are not going to be, they're going to blow it in Kansas City. They always do look bad, and the Chiefs are going to be excited. The Chiefs are going to get better. But this is really about the Chiefs and where they are in the AFC, because you know, one of the big themes that I have, gosh, had to tap the brakes on, Kevin, and almost try to grab my hand and put it over my mouth and say, Stan, do not talk right now when I say I do not believe in Buffalo. How many times have I said that this year?
Yeah.
And you could go around the table and say, who's the best team in the AFC? And people objectively that I wouldn't argue with say, you know, I think I got Buffalo. But, Kevin, I've never bought into Buffalo. And so, you know, now they're not the best in the AFC. So who is the best in the AFC? And the Chiefs have every argument to say
that's right.
They're ready for prime time.
And here's why, Stan. Everybody's looking for the team that's better than the Chiefs. And there was reason why. The Chiefs were 3-4. They were playing poorly. Their defense was awful. So I'd be looking around the AFC too, saying, is this team better? Is that team better? Which team's going to be in the Super Bowl? Because it's not going to be the Chiefs. But we were looking for teams that don't have resumes. The Chiefs are the only team in the AFC with a resume at this point. That's true. What other quarterbacks out there have been in the Super Bowl or taken their team? Herbert hasn't done it with the Chargers. The Bills haven't been there. It's not Baker Mayfield. I mean, we're looking around this thing. It's not the Titans. We like the Titans, but it's not them. If you're looking at the top teams at this point, you're like, there's no resume. The only resume is Bill Belichick. He's the coach of the Patriots, but he's got a rookie quarterback. They're a good team, but I don't see them as some giant Super Bowl threat at this point, unless it's just all about the defense. You just can't find a resume out there in the AFC anywhere other than Kansas City. And I you know, it's like reaching in a hat trying to pull out a name. That's what everybody's been doing in the AFC this year.
Yes, and that's why, Kevin, if you know, I know your podcasts are up, and that's pretty cool for a long, long time. If you want to go back and listen to the podcast after they lost to Buffalo or Tennessee and hear what I had to say at that time, it's a lot of fun because I basically, in the words that I was trying to say, what you just said. This is about the competition. It's not that the Chiefs didn't have all kinds of issues at 3-4. And there were some, you know, how do you play the Chiefs with that cover two and umbrella look? That was smart. Patrick Mahomes didn't have the magic and was not playing as well. The defense was playing awful. But it was really about look around and who can you count on. If you would have told me that Mike Tomlinson's Pittsburgh Steelers were playing great football, I'd say, uh-oh, Chiefs are not going to be the best in the AFC, and they don't really have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. If Tom Brady and the Patriots were going along with Belichick playing great football, I'd say, it's over. Count them out. But the Chiefs have caught a giant break, like you said, that the only team that tries to fit themselves in that category that you want to shake your head is John Harbaugh and the Baltimore Ravens. You kind of say, John's been there. They got a winning organization. It's not too big for them. Lamar's been an MVP, but you know Lamar can't throw the ball.
He'll lose the game. Right, he'll lose the game. He'll turn it over and lose the game. Lamar Jackson's not getting there.
Right, because the weather's worse. You know, that's the worst time for him to have to pass the ball. The games are tight, and he doesn't like throwing from the pocket. They got running backs injured. I cannot put the Ravens in there as a scary team to me.
No.
Okay, so then I looked around and said, I know I should have been scared of Buffalo, but I just told you that story. For some reason, I have not been. Cleveland, for one game, I respect the heck out of them, how they match up with the Chiefs, but down after down, no. Cincinnati, I love the quarterback, okay? I think Burrow's the real deal, but they have no DNA to know how to hold the mantle of being a favorite. Tennessee, I like the way they play, but Kevin, they're a team that goes 9-7 each year and is dangerous. They don't know how to go 12-4 or 13-3. They've never done that. As much as we've seen them beat the Chiefs or be respectful and fight the Chiefs, they always kind of are near a 500 team. The Chargers, you could say, hey, there's a team that's up and coming. I have no problem with saying the Chargers are up and coming.
Oh,
but there's a whole nother level knowing
they were so
that you're
bad.
The division. You're even the best in the division.
Dude,
the Chiefs have such an advantage.
Did you see the Chargers coach panic last night on the 4th-and-1 from his own 30-yard line and give the ball right back to the Steelers? What in the world was that? No, the Chargers are not ready. They're a good team, yeah. But that was a disaster last night, and they still won. By the way, they still won. All right, I think they and the Ravens both pulled the rabbit out of the hat. The Chargers were the better team most of the night, but then they just started playing giveaway. I'm like, what is this coach doing here? And I'm the guy that wants to go for fourth downs, and I didn't understand what the heck he was doing.
Yeah, we're to the point now. It's such a wild and crazy year. This does not mean we advance the Chiefs to the Super Bowl, because it's hard to go 3 years in a row. It's hardly ever happened. You know, the ball doesn't bounce your way, those kind of things. And the Chiefs are just one of a group of teams that are pretty good. No great teams in the AFC,
but a ton
of teams that won't even make the playoffs. I'm not saying the Colts won't, but the Colts are pretty good. You know, Denver's coming on. The Chiefs know how to win. The team that scares me the most, as crazy as it sounds right now, the team that scares me the most for being a great team or the best team in the AFC other than the Chiefs is Bill Belichick in New England.
Right, I understand.
And he is playing with his hand behind his back, the athlete. I mean, if he had Dallas's roster,
ridiculous.
He would be smashing people.
I agree. But, Stan,
his roster is not that great right now. His quarterback is just fighting his, you know, he's doing everything right, but he's a rookie. He can't scramble. He can't run.
But
New England is dangerous because they are starting to figure it out, but they're not in the Chiefs level at all.
And Mac Jones is a fine player. He's going to be, he's at the perfect place. That's going to work. Belichick's going to win a bunch of games with that guy as his quarterback, because he coaches great defense. But here's what the other coaches in the AFC are looking at right now. I guarantee you, because I got a bunch of emails from people after the game yesterday, and they're like, oh, that isn't good enough. The Chiefs offense, two turnovers, Mahomes was sloppy. All that's true. Let me tell you what the other coaches in the AFC are looking at right now, Stan. They're looking at the Chiefs going, uh-oh, they could beat us 19-9. Their defense is legit. And I don't remember that. Even in 2019, I don't remember that, Stan. The defense I've watched over the last month, and call this an overreaction if you want, but over the last four games, the defense I've watched, I think it's the best I've seen since Andy Reid got here. And all of a sudden, the Chiefs are a team that doesn't have to score 38 to beat you. What if the Chiefs go into the playoffs and can get a 16-3 lead? And suddenly they're the team that goes out and says, our defense has got it from here, which is what they did yesterday against a fine team. They did that. That's a whole new thing for the Chiefs, Stan. That, to me, is really exciting.
Right, because they did play a nice stretch down through the playoffs in the latter part of the regular season in 2019, and it helped them get over the hump. The defense finally came along. But still, look at the playoff games, how far they are behind, and they weren't stuffing people. So you can be excited about the defense. You can be excited that they have multiple ways to win. Sometimes the punting game is unbelievable. Butker just, you know, he'll miss PATs, but he'll blast the ball through from 50 yards like it's no big deal. Patrick Mahomes is trying to get the flair out of the game, and he's trying to accept, you know, maybe next year I'll be able to throw for 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns or 50 touchdowns. But this year,
just win
let's
games.
Go ahead and hand off the ball. Let's go hand the ball off. Let's find other ways to win.
Yes.
Let's get rid of the pocket. Let's get rid of the ball earlier in the pocket and not put so much stress on the offensive line. Everybody's on board now, Kevin. After that 3-4 record, Andy Reid has got everybody on board saying, follow me. We're going to have find ways to win. And that includes him running the ball, because Andy Reid wants to throw. But he's been running the ball a little bit more, relying on the defense and special teams a little bit more. You're right. It's just an encouraging sign that they're pushing forward. And I'll give you the other big encouraging sign, because when the Chiefs were 30th to 32nd in the NFL, a sieve, awful on defense, okay, couldn't stop the run, awful on defense, I said they'll gravitate back toward the middle. They got too many good players, coaching staff, and everything else. They're going to get the lead in some games, and their defense likes having the lead and unleashing the pass rush and that type of mindset. I said the Chiefs would gravitate back toward where they should be. Regression to the mean is a way of saying it. I'm going to say the same thing about the offense. Don't tell me about how unhappy you are with the offense yesterday, the turnovers, some mistakes. They're going to clean those things up, Kevin. They're going to play better offense. They can still go win a game 35-30. It is still there. As long as Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes and Kelce are healthy, the Chiefs offense is going to be fine. So I think the Chiefs offense is actually going to play a little bit better
and better. Yeah.
So don't write them off that they're struggling and they're not going to be a factor. Buddy, they're going to be a giant factor.
I couldn't be more excited. They got a bye week. They're going to rest up. They've got three games left with the Broncos and Raiders. I think those are three wins. There's no doubt in my mind now the Chiefs are getting to 10. I mean, no doubt. I have zero doubt they're getting to 10 wins. I have no question at all, and I think that gets them in the tournament, as they used to say. And I don't know. I opened the podcast by saying, I remember 2019, the Chiefs went to Tennessee and lost, then they ran the table and won 9 in a row. Well, since getting embarrassed at Tennessee, they haven't lost, and they're playing great, and the schedule gets easier, and there's just an awful lot to like here. I'm excited, and I'm excited to talk about that all with you as we go forward. But I do want to ask you about college football as well, Stan. We had the second week in a row, one of our area teams here, after Kansas did it to Texas, Missouri does it to Florida, and I don't know what's in the water around here, but there's no question our teams are getting coaches fired because Florida fires their coach after Eli Drinkwitz goes for the two-point conversion. Connor Bazelak to Daniel Parker Jr., and the Tigers win that game 24-23. Then they fire their coach afterwards. This is fantastic. Missouri's bowl eligible. They got a chance to go 7-5 if they can beat Arkansas this week. They play Friday afternoon. This is a big deal for Missouri, and they held their opponent to under 100 yards rushing. How are they doing it?
Well, again, they were playing so poorly before that they just needed to dump the old "I have no confidence." And when players lose their confidence, Kevin, in football, it is hard to get back because it's not one guy. In basketball, you can go say, "Hey, why don't you go shoot an extra 10 shots? You know, let's work on this." You can get your star players back in line. But in football, it's such a team game that everyone looks around and they're not sure what their problem is. Like, how can I improve? I want to improve, but I don't know if I can make that much difference. But once the confidence gets clicked in, once you, you know, hit that that mode, it can happen pretty fast. And the Missouri Tigers reached rock bottom and started working their way back. And this is just a giant win. Florida's been playing really bad football recently. They got ripped by South Carolina in their two games ago. And last week, before Mizzou, they gave up 42 points to Samford in the first half and over 50 points against Samford, S-A-M, not Stanford, Samford. And so Florida is struggling right now, and Missouri just needed to win by 1 point, one way or another. Now, the two-point conversion, it's crazy that it looked a lot like KU, didn't it? I mean, it just seemed like that play does not look good, barely over the line, and yeah, they got it, they won the ball game. So this is really exciting for Mizzou because it's been a roller coaster. We could have said it's just a disappointing year. Disappointing for me because I thought they were going to be schedule-wise in a much better position. And so I thought 8 wins would be the minimum for Missouri. I thought they might threaten 10 wins this year. But the fact was, when they were looking up, they needed to be bowl eligible. They couldn't have this season end in a disaster, and it's not. That win right there could be like K-State beating Texas Tech. When K-State was on a 3-game losing streak, they just needed to win by 1 point, didn't need any style points, and then they could start playing ball again. And I think the same thing with the Tigers. Just find a way to win, and they did. And so now they can move on and be a threat to Arkansas, because Arkansas is the favorite. They've been the better team this year. But Missouri on the road can become a dangerous team, and why not go win that game? Why not go win a bowl game? And suddenly you got a lot of momentum going out. So good job, Mizzou. You did what you needed to. I'm really excited to watch the Arkansas game, and I think Missouri has a real chance in that game. It's going to be a lot of fun. As an underdog, Missouri is very dangerous to Arkansas because they're not that much different. But everyone's going to tell Arkansas all week long, this is going to be easy. You're going to win. But they forget Missouri usually wins this game and plays great against Arkansas. Now, the two-point conversion play, we got to put this in perspective. There's a rule change that makes all the difference in the world. In the second overtime now, you've got to go for two. So, Kevin, if you're the second team to score in the first overtime, you're really just already going to be in the mode of having to go for two in the next overtime. So a lot of times you just say, let's go do it right now. I think the second team to score a touchdown in the first overtime, I think the normal play in college football is going to be go for two.
I love it.
I don't think it's really that risky, that aggressive. It's just why wait till the second overtime when we got some momentum, we can end this thing right now. So Kansas did it. Missouri did it, but I do think it's going to become the normal play.
Football's getting better. I mean, coaches are more interesting in the fourth downs, and it's the strategy of football and the entertainment value of football just gets better and better at college and pro every year. It just excites the living daylights out of me. I'll tell you what else excites go ahead.
Well, last thing, Kevin, about excitement, this is a Kevin Keatsman thing. Baylor Bears are one of the top teams in the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have made 7 out of 8 fourth down conversions in their own territory. They are going for it in their own territory, Kevin Keatsman style. Unfortunately, our K-State Wildcats were on the other end of it because on a big 15-yard touchdown drive, they did it instead of punting. So we're not as excited about that. But you're right. The variability in football opens up our minds to anything and everything, and it's great.
It's shocking how long it took coaches to figure out the math because it's really simple math. I mean, who doesn't?
You've been talking about it for 10 years.
Right.
You were on the leading edge on this.
No,
you were way on the leading edge.
You only get three plays. They gave for 100 years in football, they gave themselves three plays to get a first down. Well, if you take another play, that's like getting a 33% pay raise. I mean, right? You're getting another one. Or if you want to say, well, it's four plays, so it's only 25% pay raise. Whatever. Who's going to turn down the pay raise? Well, your percentage chances of getting a first down go up by that component. It just, it's so easy. But there are times and places. Like I said, the Chargers Sunday night, it was really stupid what he did. What Brandon Staley did in that game was really stupid. It was, I think it was his own 31-yard line, and they had fourth and one. And it was a tie game with, what, 3 minutes and something to go? And I'm like, what are you doing? Just kick it away, play some deep, whatever. There's enough time to get the ball back. You have all your timeouts. He got stuffed, and luckily they kept Pittsburgh out of the end zone. They held him to a field goal, right? Do I have this right last night? Yeah.
Yeah, they had a field goal. They got a field goal, then he went down and scored a touchdown.
That's right, but, and won. But that was
stupid. McCarthy kicked, and he should have gone for it. But,
right.
So
yes.
These coaches have not learned at all yet, Kevin. That you need to give them a tutorial over the summer when you have a little extra time and there's not football. You know how these guys are getting together now? Do you realize that the tight ends are getting together to help each other out in the pros? Quarterbacks get together. Kevin, you can get the head coaches together and say, let's talk about when you should go for two and when you should not. Let's talk about when you should go for fourth down and not. You can teach them.
The only rule we have in this discussion is we always exempt Mike McCarthy from the discussion. Okay, so we can talk about the Chargers making a mistake. It's a given McCarthy's going to make a mistake. So he's out of the equation. He's the worst I've ever seen. Literally the worst I've ever seen. Now, wait, Gunther Cunningham was pretty bad. Gunther Cunningham was pretty bad at this kind of stuff when he was the head coach of the Chiefs. But
Gunther would be hilarious now as a coach.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
he'd just go for
the
everything.
The quotes that he would give and the things that he would do, like your jaw would be dropping.
Yeah.
And the opponents would be going, I don't know how we scout this team. Because he'd bring the blitz and then it'd work against him and he'd just get more mad and bring more blitzers. Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised he didn't try to bring 13 guys illegally on the field. Like, we're going after that quarterback. We are going after him. Like, coach, it's not working. We're going to go after him more.
I loved him. I love that man. Okay, so three big job openings in college football. I think the LSU job is far better than USC or Florida. That's just me. It seems to me that everybody that coaches at LSU wins a national title, no matter who you put in there. So I don't know who wouldn't want that job. If you just keep a few players at home in Louisiana, which they all grew up wanting to play there, to me it's like the Georgia job. Georgia job is set there dormant forever. Every kid in Georgia wants to play at Georgia, and the state's loaded with NFL players. So Mississippi's a little different because there's Ole Miss and Mississippi State. Alabama doesn't have quite as many players in their state as Georgia or Louisiana. Louisiana is just loaded with players, and every single one of them wants to play at LSU. That, to me, is the best job that's open. There's also USC in Florida. We've heard rumblings that Lincoln Riley of Oklahoma may be offered a 10-year deal to go to LSU. I want to start there because how fun would it be if idiot Oklahoma left the Big 12 for the SEC and their coach preempted that by taking a better job in the new conference? That would be the most poetic conference realignment story in history. I am dying for Lincoln Riley to be the next coach at LSU. That would be great.
Yeah, now that is very interesting. There's a lot of things you could talk about right there. The other poetic thing that could happen this week as you get ready to watch some college football in the Big 12 specifically is if Baylor wins their last regular season game against Texas Tech, I believe, at home, and Oklahoma State beats Oklahoma, Oklahoma State wins the Big 12 regular season, goes to the championship game, and Oklahoma gets tie-breaked out by Baylor.
They're out.
And Oklahoma or Texas wouldn't be in the Big 12 championship game after they decided the Big 12 wasn't good enough for them in the football front. Texas is not going to go to a bowl game this year and is on one of the longest losing streaks in the history of their program. So talk about poetic justice. Now you add to it and say, what happens if Lincoln Riley, who 4 out of his first 5 years went to the college football playoff, that's all he did, or 3 out of the first 4, or whatever, I think 3 out of the first 4, and last year won the Big 12 championship still. So it would be hilarious if Lincoln Riley moved on at this point as they dream about going to the SEC.
When you and I talk next Monday, he could be LSU's head coach. He literally could already be the LSU coach by next Monday. It's possible.
Now, the thing to keep in mind is LSU is a very unique place. I happen to have more of a feel for that because my dad's relatives moved to Louisiana when he was 18 years old. So that was a long time ago. And so I've been down there a bunch. And I know a little bit about the attitude that they have about LSU. And everything you said is accurate. LSU is life and death for everybody there. People don't go to college, and it's, you know, not the most educated place. Mississippi and Louisiana, education's not the strongest thing. Yet they all love LSU like it's a pro team. And there's no better place I've ever been than Baton Rouge on Saturday night playing football, Kevin. All the years I've been to all these places around the country doing games or playing, LSU is the best place I've ever been.
Wow.
It still is that way today. The tailgating, the party, the noise, the worship of football, and there's tons of NFL players in Louisiana. It's just a ton.
And the rumbling is they're offering him 10 years, $90 million. How do you turn that down?
But let's just think about this. Oklahoma is a really good place to be. Great tradition of winning. And LSU, LSU, I'm talking about the education side and stuff. It's a little bit different down there. And I don't know if Lincoln Riley is wired for that or not. That's the one thing to keep in mind.
But if he's going to the SEC either way, which program do you want to lead into the SEC? That's an easy answer. It's LSU.
LSU has more talent and has all the has everything you need. Except where they're in, just one thing to think about, Kevin, they're in the SEC West. But Alabama is not going to keep Nick Saban forever. I mean, the guy is 70, right?
Right.
He's not going to coach till he's 90.
Agreed.
Is he? Maybe.
No.
I don't know.
No.
But at some point, Alabama's not going to be Alabama. Auburn's just another good team. The SEC West is the hardest place to play. But the new SEC is going to be bigger, and they're probably going to go to quads, of four different quads, Kevin, and it's going to change the dynamic. So you're right. Even then, the SEC West isn't going to be as hard as it has been.
Right.
So LSU is a place to go unless you have a lifestyle. I'm talking about your wife and your family get votes as well. And Florida is an awesome place to live. The University of Florida is an awesome place to be. LSU, it's just about football and beer and Cajun. It's just crazy.
And if they go to quads, guess what's happened to Missouri? They're going to get OU, Texas, and Arkansas. They're going to be back in the Big 12. You watch.
I know.
You watch. It's going to be awful for Missouri. It's just going to be terrible. I mean, I'm not trying to be a downer. They're going to be right back with what they ran from. It's so crazy. The whole thing's crazy. How about Dave Aranda, the Baylor coach? You watched him on Saturday. He's the leading candidate for the USC job. I think he's from California originally. Good fit. If he goes and plays sound football and good defense at USC, he could do some damage in that conference, couldn't he?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. It's wide open out there. I mean, anybody who goes and takes their coaching to another level should be able to take off. Remember when Oregon did that with Chip Kelly? He's not been able to recreate that at UCLA. But they have something going on at Oregon, and they became a national power and won the league every year. But USC and UCLA are really tricky places. Kevin, I hear that you have some podcasts that have things about politics and life and what's going on. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
This is very relevant. What you talk about on those subjects is very relevant. No one on the West Coast cares about sports, Kevin. It is a giant issue. And everyone expects results only. And so when you go coach at USC and UCLA, they think it's flat out 1960 or 1980, where those teams had all the advantage and had all, they plucked all the great players from the West Coast. Guess what? You talk about Louisiana kids wanting to go to LSU or Georgia kids wanting to go to Georgia. The whole West Coast wanted to go to USC. And if they didn't, UCLA said, hey, we play them in a big game on national TV, and we're right there with them. They were the magnet school. They're just schools now in a city where there's no one cares about football. And they love LeBron James and the NBA and other things way more than they do, but they expect you to win. It's a given that you're going to win at UCLA or USC, or you're a total failure. And a 7-5 football team, don't even talk to me. People don't even go to the Rose Bowl. They don't want to go watch UCLA play. And there's a lack of interest. It's a tricky job. It'll be interesting to see. Dave Aranda coming from that part of the country will be a key thing. Because to be successful on the West Coast, Kevin, you got to think differently. You got to buy in and think like they do to have any chance. I don't want to go out there and think like them. I don't understand it. But as a football coach, it'll be interesting to see what Dave Aranda wants to do. He's a solid football coach. He's understated, and he is very, very good at what he does so far. He's only done it for 2 years. But remember, he was the defensive coordinator at LSU. So I wonder what his interest level is at LSU, because he was actually there when they won that national championship with Joe Burrow and those guys.
Yeah. I still think they want Lincoln Riley, but we'll see. It's fascinating, and it's all going to happen real fast, by the way. The season's going to end this week, and these coaches are going to start bolting all over the place because money talks, and it's going to happen. So it's going to get wild, and we'll stay in touch with you, buddy, because there may be some big news and big things going on. I hope you and your family have a great week. Lots of fun. I know you got a couple of calls the next two nights at T-Mobile Center with the Hall of Fame Classic that's being played at T-Mobile Center with K-State playing. So that should be fun. Have a couple of great calls there. Have a great Thanksgiving day. Enjoy the Cowboys beatdown of the Raiders on Thursday. And we'll catch up with you, if not this weekend, next Monday. How's that sound?
That sounds great. And Chiefs fans, it'll be easy for them to say, we beat the Cowboys, but now let's have them help them. Help the Chiefs by beating the Raiders. So everybody can join along and be a Cowboys fan on Thanksgiving. But great time. I hope everybody has a very safe and fun Thanksgiving. It's a great time of year, Kevin. And it's just all thumbs up. Sports all over the place this week. Friday after Thanksgiving is just such an underrated day for football. I've loved it my whole life. And it was featured around here. You talk about the old days. Oklahoma, Nebraska. That's what it was, man. And if you want to add other games, hey, I'm good for Missouri, Arkansas. But it is awesome, and K-State's actually playing. So K-State, Texas, Missouri, Arkansas, even the locals can find a lot of reasons to love Friday football this week. Good talking to you, Kevin. Can't wait to talk to you next week, and the Chiefs are getting ready. You know what they're going to do after the bye? They always win after the bye. They're going to beat the Raiders. Here we go. The Chiefs might still be good enough to win the AFC and have the best record. It's going to be fun. Let's go. November to December, great time of year.
Thank you, buddy. Have a great week.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, take care. There is Stan Weber, and it's your football feast. He's the best in the business, and he's here every week, and this is a huge week. It's a fun week. The Chiefs are off. They get a bye week, and then the Raiders, as you just mentioned there. We've got an awesome college football doubleheader on Friday. K-State, Texas, then Missouri, Arkansas. Stan Weber's appearance on KKHI is brought to you by Back 9 Development, online at back9development.com. 785-236-0161. Call TJ for a personal tour of the Solheim Condominiums at Grand Mere in Manhattan. Fry Orthodontics, multiple locations around Kansas City area. The first appointment is free. If you've been considering improving your smile, I'd consider Fry Orthodontics. The best orthodontists in Kansas City, anywhere in the Midwest, really. And Invisalign is now the same price as braces. At fryorthodontics.com, your smile is just the start. And Ron Buck and his team at Buck Roofing, online at rbuckroofing.com. Ron's about as big a football fan as you've ever seen, but he'll break away from a big game to make sure your house is okay. If you've got a problem and an emergency, call him at 913-384-2680, and you'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. All right, big week of podcasts coming up here. It's the holiday week, as you well know. And so that's kind of fun. I'm probably going to do another Monday podcast as well. I got a lot of things that we didn't get into here with our football feast, but I also want to remind you about Christmas Shining Star and your ability to help that charity here in Kansas City. We talked about this on Friday, and many of you listened to the podcast. If you've not heard Friday's podcast, I'd love it if you went back and listened to my interview with Bridget Turpich, the Marketing and Communications Director for Christmas Shining Star. They've been doing this for 15 years in Kansas City, Missouri, and St. Joe through Catholic Charities, serving hundreds of families. They've got 350 kids this year on their wish list that they're looking to raise about $60 per kid to go Christmas shopping for those kids. And I've provided you with multiple ways that you can support this, and I'd be honored if you would do it. You can call the donor rep line of Christmas Shining Star and make a pledge to them over the phone. That number is 816-659-8243. That's 816-659-8243. You can hit the pause button right now, grab a pen, run it back 15 seconds and listen to me say it again, or I'll say it again here in a moment. Hit the pause button. And you can also go online to catholiccharities-kcsj.org. catholiccharities-kcsj.org, or call them at 816-659-8243. They'll take a cash donation, or if you'd like to adopt a kid, they'll send you a list and you go buy the three or four presents for that kid and deliver it to them. It's a wonderful family activity. I recommend it for anyone. I'm doing this with my my two kids that live here. They're adult kids. We're all going to do this in a couple weeks. We're going to go shopping for several kids and make a difference for their holiday this year. It's a wonderful experience and something you'll feel really good about. If that's too complicated, if you've thought about becoming a patron of KKHI, here's what I'm going to do. If you want to sign up to become a patron anytime in the next 4 weeks, if you join the patron program, I will double what you sign up for. If you sign up for $5, I'm going to give 2 months worth. I'm going to double that up and put it toward the charity. Up to $5,000 I'm going to donate total through the patron program, depending on what people do. If you're already a patron, and we had one gentleman changed his patron membership from, I think, from $5 to $250. And then I will remind everybody in 3 weeks to back your patron membership back down to $5. I'll remind you to take it back where it was, okay? So that's $245 I got to come up with to match him. So that's going to be a total of $490 toward the charity right there because he changed his patron pledge. I'll see it. I see the running total monthly, and we'll check it out on December 15th, what that total is, and I will match it up to a total of $5,000. So it actually, your money will go farther if you do it that way. If you want to just sign up and become a patron, if you thought about doing it and you haven't done it, sign up for $5, become a patron. I'm going to double that. I'm going to double that. And you can stay on as a patron and know that your money's going to charity. That's a pretty good deal, that you've done something good if you want to become a patron. We had a tremendous, the best newsletter yet over the weekend. The patron's post over the weekend was the best yet. I posted it on Twitter, at KKSIssues, the first paragraphs on the Chiefs paying off the little girl's family. It's a worthy read. If you want to go read it, you should read it. It's on my Twitter profile timeline, at KKSIssues. Or you can go to TonysKansasCity.com. He ran a little story on it. Tony's Kansas City is a tremendous website. You should check it out every day if you're interested in current events, things going on in and around Kansas City. It's called TonysKansasCity.com. Check him out. He's sort of anonymous. Nobody really knows who he is, but boy, he's a pot stirrer. He'll get you thinking. He's pretty good. And he took a clip from my patron post over the weekend and put it on his website. You can read it there as well, TonysKansasCity.com. But if you've thought about becoming a patron, this is a great way to double up for charity by signing up. We've always said we're going to use the patron program for charity. I've been involved with many causes earlier this year. Crooked Tail Media has donated to those. I don't want to get into great detail of what I'm doing with the patron program because I don't want to sound like I'm boasting or bragging. It doesn't matter. These things are going to good causes. This one is public. If you join the patron program, it will go straight to charity. Right now, go to kksissues.com and sign up to become a patron, and it will go straight to the Christmas Shining Star and help kids this holiday season. So hopefully you can do it that way, or forget that part. If you don't want to do it that way, you just want to make a donation, or if you want to shop for kids, we're making this real easy for you. Call the number, 816-659-8243. We have 350 kids at Christmas Shining Star that need presents this holiday season. The 350. Bridget told us on the podcast on Friday, they believe they have about 250 of them covered right now. So you can run the math on this. They got 100 kids left at $60 each. That's $6,000, right? So we can do a match program here through the patron program to get $5,000. I'll commit up to $5,000 if we get the proper donations into the patron program. So if you help out that way, it doubles up what we're doing. Or just call them directly. What I'm doing on the side is I'm taking my family and we're going shopping for kids because I can't wait to do that. And if you're maybe my age and your kids are grown and you used to shop for your kids around the holiday season, you don't really have that. Maybe you're getting a thing or two for a grandchild. Maybe you don't have grandchildren, but you remember shopping for your kids. That's what I'm going to feel this year. I'm going to shop for kids I don't even know. I can't wait. I can't wait to go do it. So call them if you'd like to participate. 816-659-8243. It is Christmas Shining Star. There is no more worthy charity for kids in need in Kansas City this holiday season. And as always, thank you for listening to the Football Feast at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.